All right. As she said, my name is Jessie Bramhall, and my undergraduate research was in screening for multiple herbicide resistance in Palmer amaranth under Dr. Mithila Jugulam at Kansas State University. So a little bit about my presentation. I'll go through the intro of what Palmer amaranth is as a major weed in Kansas, my overall objective of determining the weed resistance, determining my hypothesis based on previous knowledge such as weed resistance, the areas that it's been in, and previous application and history in this field. Then I'll go through explaining the methods and materials used to verify herbicide resistance, explain the results and discussion that came from this experiment, and then further management practices for this farmer. So a little bit of an introduction about Palmer amaranth. It is a member of the Amaranthus family. It's a summer annual weed, a broadleaf weed, dioecious, and a C4 plant. It has an aggressive growth habit and produces a lot of seed and is very competitive against crops in Kansas. It's commonly found in the southern states, as you can see by that map, and it started to move its way north, and it's distributed throughout Kansas. Resistant Palmer amaranth has actually already been found in western Kansas and south central Kansas. According to the Weed Science Society of America, herbicide resistance is the inherent ability of a plant to survive and reproduce following exposure to a dose of lethal herbicide to a wild type. As confirmed before, I said that there was resistance in Palmer amaranth, so there's been two other studies that have confirmed that there's ALS resistant, HPPD, and photosystem II inhibitor resistance, and then there was also a glyphosate resistant population. And as you can see throughout the U.S., there's also been confirmation of those same herbicides throughout the U.S. For my objective of this study, I obtained a population from Pawnee County, Kansas, from a farmer who suspected it to be resistant. And so the objective of the study was to tell the farmer if the Pawnee County population was resistant to glyphosate, chlorosulfuron, atrazine, mesotrione, and 2,4-D herbicides. To form a hypothesis, we went through and looked at previous field history, what the farmer had applied in previous years, and just did research about herbicide resistance throughout Kansas. So what we came up with was we expected the population of Palmer amaranth to be resistant to glyphosate, atrazine, chlorosulfuron, and that it may also exhibit resistance to mesotrione and 2,4-D. So a little bit about the Pawnee County population of Palmer amaranth. The field is located in south central Kansas. It's had yield losses of 75%. It sits under an irrigated pivot, and it's planted in two half circles. From 1996 to 2005, there was a crop rotation that wasn't very diverse. It was just a corn and soybean rotation. And then from 2005 to 2013, he decided to diversify it a little more and go from a corn, soybean, double crop wheat, double crop grain sorghum, back to soybean. Some of the materials that I used were just different potting soils. I obtained the Pawnee County population from the farmer. We had a known susceptible seed that we planted, and of course the herbicides. This was all conducted in the greenhouse, and to spray the plants, we used a spray chamber. For methods, on February 4th, 11th, 18th of 2016, we planted the Palmer amaranth seeds into these flats. From there, we went and transplanted them. And for those of you that don't know, growing weeds in a greenhouse is a lot more complicated than them growing out in the field. So we went ahead and transplanted those. We had 144 Pawnee County population seedlings, so that meant there was 24 per each herbicide plus 24 for control. We had 60 susceptible seedlings, which meant 10 per herbicide and 10 for an untreated control. Then we went ahead and sprayed it on March 15th at a 1x dose for run 1 and run 2 at a height of 10 to 12 centimeters, which is recommended on the label. We took data of alive versus dead at 1, 2, 3, and 4 weeks after treatment. Here's some of the herbicide information of what we sprayed. We stuck to the label and did a 1x dose, as said before. So we used atrazine, chlorosulfuron, glyphosate, mesotrione, and 2,4-D. We also kept with added adjuvants that were said on the label. Here is the response to Palmer amaranth that was sprayed with atrazine. For those of you that can't see, on the bottom is a legend for each picture. NT stands for not treated, T stands for treated, S stands for susceptible Palmer amaranth, PC stands for the Pawnee County population that we expected to be resistant. So as you can see, it took a little while for it to go to work, but it came out on week 4 that the susceptible was dead and the resistant was still producing seed, as you can see on the top of that second plant there. The same type of effect happened to the chlorosulfuron treatment. As you can see, the susceptible is dying and the resistant is still living very well and actually starting to produce seeds. Typically, when you spray these plants and they're resistant, the buds start to get very close and they just keep producing seed. The same thing also happened to glyphosate. Actually, all of our susceptible died away, and then our resistant kept growing and producing seed. This was our Palmer amaranth response to mesotrione. As you can see, the same response also happened with this herbicide. The susceptible was dead, and the resistant showed good growth and seed production. On the other hand, Palmer amaranth's response to 2,4-D was a little different. As you can see on that last 4 weeks after treatment picture, the susceptible is curled over and dead. But as for the Pawnee County population, it had the common effects of 2,4-D, of the epinasty going on. And so it was still alive, but it wasn't producing seed like the other plants. Here are the results. In the purple is the Pawnee County population, which, as I stated before, is the suspected resistance. And in the gray is the susceptible. On this side of the graph, it's percent survival. And as you can see, it shows that glyphosate, atrazine, chlorosulfuron, and mesotrione all exhibited resistance, and 2,4-D only showed an elevated tolerance. So for the discussion, we saw a 90% resistance to the three modes of action of atrazine, chlorosulfuron, and glyphosate. We saw 60% resistance to the HPPD mesotrione, and that there was an elevated tolerance in the 2,4-D. So in the future, we recommended this farmer to be very careful and monitor what was going on. Some potential sources for error: as I said, I had a lot of seedlings, so we put them in the spray chamber and we made sure to spread them out, but they could have been overlapping, similar to a field situation. Also, for potential future research, we thought about doing some tank mixes of these products to see how it worked. And as you can see in the picture, there's when the buds all bunched up really close after spraying it. So our recommendations to this farmer was to rotate modes of action. As many of you know, farmers have gotten to the easy Roundup Ready way. You go out there once, you spray it once, and that's all you need. So we recommended this farmer to always put down a pre or burn down, diversify his cropping system, which he's already put in place, consider a cover crop, which has both pros and cons, because in South Central Kansas, you can have rain and sometimes you don't. And then also think about cultural practices, such as row spacing, make narrower rows. Maybe think about tillage. In Kansas, we're pretty big on no-till, but that's a potential to kill that Palmer amaranth. Palmer amaranth is pretty resilient, though, so sometimes even if you take it out, it'll come back up. In conclusion, Pawnee County population displayed resistance to atrazine, chlorosulfuron, glyphosate, and mesotrione. Pawnee County population only exhibited an elevated tolerance to the 2,4-D, so we recommend the farmer to monitor this. Also, as said before, we would like him to adopt integrated weed management practices. With that, here's my literature cited, and are there any questions? So for those of you that didn't hear the question is, how would tillage fit into the strategy? This would be more of a saving strategy to come in there last minute and in-row cultivate and get them when they're already coming up, which I know already disturbs the seed bed, but when you're already having 75% wheat, 75% yield loss, there's not a whole lot you can do. Okay, so for those of you that didn't hear, her question was, what are past practices that led to this evolution of a resistant weed? A lot of farmers got stuck into their old ways, applying the same chemicals over and over again, not going back in there with new chemistries or tank mixes. So that just led to the evolution. And as most of you probably know, Palmer amaranth is very resilient, and there are several different populations and different strains. So just within that field, there could be different population and genotypes.
Do you have any research about the timing of rates?
Yeah. So she asked about timing and rates. A lot of farmers are hit and miss and when they get out there. We didn't get all the details. From what I've done past consulting to farmers, and I know that sometimes their 10-centimeter plant is actually about 12 centimeters. It is what it is. Most farmers are busy. They're running from field to field, so that's definitely something that could have gone on.
Would you say that most of those applications were done either pre-plant or pre-emergent?
Okay, so his question was, were they pre-plant or pre-emergent? And from my knowledge, they were mostly pre-emergent. A lot of guys haven't gotten to that pre-emergent herbicide yet. They've got used to Roundup Ready. So they just go out there after it's already emerged and sprayed.
Thank you.